Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn in your Bible with me today to Ephesians chapter 2? I appreciate you watching, and I hope it's a blessing to you. We've been talking about prayer and the different aspects of prayer. There are a lot of things about prayer that we haven't got into yet, but our main concern pertaining to prayer has to do with the fact that the church is being deceived today by religious leaders by making you believe that you cannot approach God because you're bad, that your sins have separated you from God as a Christian. And therefore, before you can get to God, before you can get any answer to your prayer, you've got to do certain things which these religious leaders lay on you, or God will never hear you. And yet they quote unto you and refer you to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. In 1 John 1, 9, the Bible said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A man tells you that since you've committed some sort of sin, and since you've got these sins, God can't hear you. If you regard sin in your life, God cannot hear you. They quote the passages out of the Old Testament scriptures, and yet they tell you 1 John 1, 9 is available unto you. Well, if God can't hear you, how can God hear you when you confess your sins on the basis of 1 John 1, 9? And 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I believe the negative side of that would be just as true as the positive side. If that passage is unto you today, if that passage was written to you as a child of God today, then that passage also says that if you do not confess your sins, He wouldn't forgive you, and He would not cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So that passage would be based upon the fact that your forgiveness is based upon your confessing your sins. So there's great confusion here. What I want to say to you today hinges around the fact that there are those today that believe that since God loves you, you can just come to God through the fact that He loves you. I want you to understand that that isn't true. I want you to understand that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. I want you to understand that even though God loved you and gave His Son to die for you, if you do not believe in the death of Christ at Calvary, if you do not believe in the cross and trust the fact of the cross, then you can't get to God no matter how much you appreciate His love for you. There is no way that you can approach God except through Jesus Christ and His death at Calvary. And I probably am talking to somebody right now that you believe that Jesus Christ died. You believe that as a historical fact, but you do not believe in the cross in the sense that you believe that you are worthy of it. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ paid for your sins at Calvary. It is your sins that put Him to the cross. It is your sins that were put upon Him. If you're one of those people that are self-righteous and believe that you are a good guy, then you do not believe that your sins were put upon Christ. Every person that I'm referring to today as a grace believer is a person that recognizes that they were a sinner. They recognize that there is no goodness in them, and they're like Paul, and they can say with Paul, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And finally, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The grace believer that I'm referring to is an individual that sees themselves as in the eyes of Romans chapter 5, verse 6, that Jesus Christ, even when we were without strength, Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. And the ones that I'm referring to as grace believers are men and women that believe themselves to be bad. They believe that they are miserable, wretched, sinful individuals that are worthy of nothing from Almighty God, but that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died at Calvary, that Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, became their sin. Jesus Christ became at Calvary what we are by nature. He became at Calvary what we are by action. And He died for our sins. Our sins were judged at Calvary. And Christ was found guilty as our sins were placed upon Him. And the punishment of God was poured out upon our sins at Calvary. We that are grace believers believe that. We know that our sins are paid for. We know that we have entrance to God through Christ, and that we're in Christ, and Christ is in us, and that we are crucified with Christ, we are buried with Christ, we are risen with Christ, we are ascended up with Christ, and seated with Him in heavenly places. I might be talking to someone right now, and your attitude is, well, God loves me, and since God loves me, He will forgive me. And so you daily pray that God would forgive you, but yet you have never come to the cross. You have never come to the place that you saw that Jesus Christ died at Calvary as a result of what you are. You've never seen yourself in that bad light. You've never seen yourself as that sinful individual that you are. You just think about God's love for you and how God is nice to you and He's a good person to you and He will forgive you if you'll cry a little bit and if you will say things to Him, He will forgive you. That is not true. God cannot forgive you outside the death of Christ. No matter about God's love, He cannot forgive you your sins. He cannot remove your sins for you unless you come to the place that you trust Christ. You must come to the grips with this thing and admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you're no good. Admit that you're bad. And understanding that, you see yourself as having been nailed to the cross when Christ was nailed there, because Christ was nailed there in your stead. He took your place there and died for you. Prayer, I've said over and over, is dispensational in this age. We do not get to God in this age as men did in the past or as they will in the future. So I'm going to put on the board up here and I'm going to say that this line here represents the nation Israel in the Old Testament scriptures. Back there you'll find in Exodus chapter 19 that Moses goes up unto God and God speaks unto him out of the mountain and says, go and tell my people, tell Israel, if you will obey my covenants and keep my commandments, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of the earth. All the earth is mine. And you'll be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So I'm going to say that this right here is God's people. I'm going to say this line right here represents the Gentiles at that time. Then Israel was above the Gentiles. They were not above the Gentiles physically, but they were above the Gentiles spiritually and politically. They were exalted and they became a kingdom of priests. And so God Almighty dealt with the world through the Levites. He dealt with the world through Israel at that time. They had the priesthood. They had the ministry of ministering God's word. And so God's word was given to Moses and it was written down on the tables of stone and preserved and on it goes. And so at that time there were some Gentiles that came to God through that priesthood. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, notice something here. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11, the Bible said, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Please observe verse 12, that at that time, when, verse 11, time past. Verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. Then the Gentiles, to whom the book is written, in time past had been without Christ as a result of the fact that they were not ally with Israel. Look at the verse again, verse 12, that at that time past, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Why were they without Christ? Because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. It did not say, at that time you were without Christ, being uncircumcised. It did not say, at that time you were without Christ, being not the seed of Abraham. It said that at that time, when is that time? Verse 11, it's time past. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Those Ephesians to whom this letter is written in time past could not get to God. They were outside the realm of God's blessings. Why? Because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. They were without God in the world. Well, there were some people back there that could get to God that weren't circumcised. They're called strangers in this Bible. Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. Well, start first in Exodus. Look in Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, the law is being given at Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, God spake, and he said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now watch verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Showing mercy to who? The thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. In Deuteronomy chapter 7. And look in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8. Because the Lord loved you, a reference to Israel, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh king of Egypt. Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. There were people back there outside of Israel that loved God and kept God's commandments. Turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Now watch. Verse 12. I'm reading in Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. He said, gather the people together, men and women, children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. There were strangers scattered among the children of Israel, and they were given the law. They were to assemble with Israel at that assembly and listen as the law was read in their ears. Turn, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, notice in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we'll read in verse 12. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words. You saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. The reason I'm referring to the passage is because there are some people today that say that the covenant had to do with being circumcised. And yet the passage is clear. Deuteronomy 4 verse 13, he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Please turn to Isaiah and look in Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56. In the millennium, notice some things. Verse 3. Well, we're going to start in verse 1. I'm sorry. Isaiah 56 verse 1, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Verse 3, neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, as in Deuteronomy 4:13, the covenant written on tables of stone, 10 commandments, the eunuchs that keep my covenant. Verse 5, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcast of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. There is no doubt about it. There was a time back there when Israel was exalted above the nations. There will be a time in the future when Israel will be exalted above the nations as they were in the past. In the past, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and got to Mount Sinai, there were strangers among them. There was a mixed multitude that went across the Red Sea and came out there. And that mixed multitude, which are called strangers, they were given the law just like Israel was. They were not circumcised. They could not go inside the temple and observe the things of the temple. They could not partake of the Passover feast unless they became circumcised, as in Exodus chapter 12. But nevertheless, when the sacrifices were made, they had the benefit of the sacrificial offerings that were made by the priest at that time. Say that this right here represented the tabernacle at that time. The tabernacle was erected, and the trumpets were blown, and Israel were gathered together with 3 tribes on either side of the tabernacle. 3 tribes on the east, 3 tribes on the north, south, and west. They were gathered around. The Levitical priesthood is in the intersection of this. Among these people out here were the strangers that embraced his covenant. They were the strangers that kept his law. They were the strangers that kept the Sabbaths. They were the strangers that loved the Lord God and feared him and worked righteousness by blessing the seed of Abraham, and on and on. And so they would have been gathered among the children of Israel out here. The high priest of Israel
would have taken the bullock sacrifice, and he would have gone behind the veil, and he would have gone to the mercy seat back there and sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat and made atonement for the people. And those strangers, those Gentiles among Israel at that time would have been benefited by the sacrificial offerings that were given at that time. But that would not have included you. That would not have included those people of Ephesians chapter 2. Look at it again. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. Why? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Those Ephesians to whom that letter was written were without Christ, they were without God, they were not allied with Israel, they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, they did not fear God, they did not work righteousness, and therefore they were left out of the picture. Turn in your Bible, please, to Genesis, and look in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, in Genesis 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation. And I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thy seed, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God Almighty made a promise back there to Gentiles. God promised that he would bless Gentiles, that blessed the seed of Abraham, and cursed Gentiles that cursed the seed of Abraham. Turn in your Bible, please, and notice in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1. In Luke 1, notice what Mary says about fearing the Lord. In Luke 1, verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. Notice in verse 49, he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Now, let's use an illustration. There's an illustration here of a man that feared God and worked righteousness. There's an illustration here of a man that blessed the seed of Abraham. Look at him in Luke chapter 7. Turn to Luke chapter 7. In Luke 7, verse 1. Now, when he'd ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. We got a Gentile here. Here is a Gentile that's head over 100 men. Verse 3, and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he, the Gentile, he, the centurion, was worthy for whom he should do this. Why? For he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. And Jesus went and did it. God said through Abraham, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And so God did bless the stranger. He did bless the Gentile that joined himself unto Israel. He did bless them that were called strangers in those days, that took hold in his covenant and kept his covenant and kept his Sabbaths and feared him and worked righteousness as they blessed the seed of Abraham. Look at Peter's attitude about this in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And as you know, later on, Peter went to this man's house. But notice what Peter said when he got into this man's house. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That was still true at that time as far as Peter was concerned. If a Gentile feared God and blessed Israel, worked righteousness, God would accept him. But notice in the age we live in today, notice the difference right now. Notice what Paul said to Titus. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. In Titus 3 verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I can put up here the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ went to Calvary, and Jesus Christ died for your sins. And our association with God today, our association with the Lord today, is not through Israel. The Bible said in Romans chapter 11 verse 11 that through the fall of Israel, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. In other words, Israel is not exalted above the Gentiles today. Israel is not the priesthood of God today. Israel is fallen and become low am I, but God Almighty made another way. God Almighty sacrificed his Son, and his Son died for our sins. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for us at Calvary. He was made to be sin for us. Him who knew no sin became our sin, that we, by trusting in him, we, by believing in him as our Lord and Savior, could get to God. What am I saying unto you? I'm saying unto you that you can get on your knees and you can pray on the basis of God's love until hell freezes over, that he'll forgive you, but he will not until you acknowledge that you're a sinner. You acknowledge you need a Savior, and acknowledging that and believing that, you come to God through the cross of Christ. You trust Jesus Christ, realizing that he was nailed to the cross in your behalf, that the nails was put in his hands because they ought to be put in yours, and that you're the sinner that ought to die on a cross, not Christ, and that Christ suffered and he died for your sin. He paid for your sins there, and as a redeemed child of God, as one redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have access to God in Christ. You have access to the Father and have forgiveness for all your sins in Christ. I thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.